Good evening.
Just one moment, please.
I don't have it.
Thank you.
I think I did.
Good evening. It's and welcome to the town hall. Hi, everybody. It is 6:32, and this is, I'm recording, good to know, the Town of Bolton Board of Selectmen special meeting, October 17th, 2023 at 6:30 p.m. held here at the town hall. And switch over to the right. Steph. This is a special meeting, and one of the things that is not on a special meeting generally is public comment. And one of the things we know about a special meeting is that you cannot open the agenda. It has been called, it has been posted, it has been called, and it is not to be open. But at this time, we can look at the rest of the agenda, and we have on the agenda number 5. And is to consider and possibly act on the first selectman's salary. At this time, I'd like to call on Bob Moore.
Thank you, Pam. I appreciate that, but obviously I've missed the original meeting on this and just getting caught up. But on top of that, this is a pretty significant move, significant issue. I think it's an item that should be discussed further also at a public hearing, a public meeting, where that's simply the item that's on there, so it can be explained to the public why we're doing this, what's the purpose of it, what the ramifications would be, what the dollar figures are, and what's going on. With that said, I'd like to just share that, having been for a selectman a lot of times, and with my first stint in office was in 1989. At that time, the salary was $900 a month. Current salary is $1,300 a month. So you may want to wonder why we're considering these things. For me, it's not the money, but we're so limited as to who can do it. And that's why it's worth a discussion. And I'm going to end it there so we can discuss it with the rest of the community.
Adam, would you like the floor, please?
Sure. I would have said that we could allow public comment on this, but I also feel that it, since the meeting is only a special meeting, it wasn't posted with the agenda early enough to get any real public participation. And I know from personal observation that there are strong feelings out there. I don't see, rather than try to open shoehorn public participation into this meeting, I think this should be done at a regular meeting, not even at a special meeting, with time for public comment and even maybe a public hearing on it, because there's facts and information that needs to be developed for the record. I would say, just as a way of putting the information out there now so that when it does come up, people have some notice of it, that my approach to salary for the first selectman is that the job is and has become more than the time involved and the stress and the responsibility involved is more than what the current pay would compensate somebody for. Objectively, I mean, if you go and look at what even a reasonable corporate spokesperson, if you consider that a reasonable administrative person in an administrative job, if you consider that, what they would be paid per hour for what this person has to do, and well, with due respect to our current first and past firsts, different people inhabiting the job do it different ways with different levels of intensity, but it's not a quiet, sit at home, wallflower kind of job. and it deserves to be paid more than what it's paid now. I divorced myself completely from the comments at the last time this was discussed publicly about what the job is or what the Charter Commission intended it to be. I don't think any of that is correct. The job is what the charter describes it as. It's not a CEO job. It's not a full-time job. It's not intended to be a full-time job in our current form of government. But it is a job with meaningful responsibilities and duties and stress, and it's undercompensated as it exists now. That said, in a year where we raised people's taxes substantially, where town employees received raises, but relatively less than what inflation was this year, and where we've approved several contracts without large raises, I don't think it's appropriate to address this until there's been an election and a public hearing, and people have the opportunity to weigh in. I'm just giving people notice that I will vote to raise the first selectman's pay moderately, not substantially, in the next term to take effect at some future time based on the information that I have right now. I'm not committed to that, because it could change my mind. But so people voting for me should be aware that that might happen.
We're not discussing electioneering.
I think people have the right to know what they're getting. So
thank you.
That I think we should table this until after the election. A new board of 7 members, 6 of them will not be involved personally, and they can vote. And the person who is misfortunate enough to be elected for selectman can recuse or disqualify mm-hmm. themselves and let it happen, or speak against it if they so choose.
Thank you. Bob DiPietro, did you have your hand up?
No.
Mr. Aramita.
Yes, I did. Have I got the floor?
Yes, sir, you do.
Okay. 2 things. Number one, I was hoping that we would actually address this at this meeting, not because I will be voting on it, but because neither of the 2 potential candidates would be put in a position to be asked to vote on their own pay. When we adjusted the Board of Selectmen's pay back when August or July or something like that, we made it effective after the new board came in January. So under that same premise, I was hoping we would be dealing with this tonight so that the new board would not have to deal with it and would be no conflict of interest. The first selectman candidate or the first selectman elect at that time can bow out and abstain from voting, but I don't think they should have to. So that's why I was hoping we'd do it now. As far as the salary, the salary for the first selectman is it's a compensation, but it's more, well, it is a compensation, because right now first selectmen tend to be people who are retired. Even board members of the Board of Selectmen tend to be people who are retired. Adam, you know from experience, it takes time away from your practice to be a member of this board. And picture if you were the first selectman, how much time it would take away. Bob Mora, same thing, takes time away from his practice to deal with the Board of Selectmen, and did when he was first selectman. And the compensation is in some way to compensate you for the time you lose at work. Somebody, you know, who's a private, has his own business or works for another company and is allowed to have time off to deal with the town business. I was lucky when I was first selectman, the town gave me the opportunity to deal with a lot of it while I was working, and made it easier for me. So the compensation wasn't as big a thing. But for somebody who has to give up time in their own business or time in somebody else's business, the compensation is fairly important. And that's how I look at it. More than pay, as compensation for time lost with your grandchildren, lost from your business, lost from baseball games and soccer games and everything else that the person that is the first selectman gives up on a regular basis. And it's a lot. And it's to compensate them for what they lose, either in salary or in time that's so very valuable to a lot of us at this age. And that's how I look at it. And that's how I kind of looked at what I would have voted on for a salary. I know how many hours I put in when I was there, and I can guesstimate how many hours that Bob and Sandy and Pam have put in their terms. So it would be a significant increase, not some of the increases that I've heard, but it would be significant enough to compensate somebody for the 10 to 15 to 20 hours a week that they're giving up.
Thank you, Michael. Bob DiPietro, would you like the floor, sir?
Yeah, I just will say that in part is that because I don't have a job, which I should, if I were first selectman, I'd be free, right?
No, not at all, Bob. I would expect you to be compensated for your time just as anybody else. Your time is as valuable as anybody else's, but it prohibits somebody who's not retired from entering into it because of the lost wages that they would have. You and I are on fixed income, so it doesn't change our wages. But as you know, and I feel it now at my age, every minute is valuable to me, and every minute is important, and the compensation extends to that, to the little league and to the basketball and to the time with the family. The compensation is different for somebody like you and I, but it's compensation for what we're giving up.
Thank you. Thank you, madam.
Thank you, sir. I will speak on this issue, having heard everyone here, also in being seated in this position for these last 2 years, that it certainly is not a living wage. It is certainly partially a labor of love that you do this and you continue on because of the pride you have for the town. I'm looking at two former first selectmen who remain on this board and have been, and Michael, you aren't stepping down, but a very special thank you for you for coming back onto the board, and you have been first selectman, and Mr. Mora coming back and serving as well. But Adam taking time out of his very busy career is huge. But one of the important things I think that I'd like to share is what happens when you exclude people from possibly running for an office. And in this case, because of the time commitment, without compensation that's enough, you exclude a lot of people from actually running for the office because they can't afford to. Now, this town has, yes, a very large increase. This board came up with a 5.3% increase, and another board and two other boards decided that they would put forward a larger increase for the taxpayers. I'm saying that to support this board and the actions that this board has taken as a whole, and I believe this board functions very well. I believe that my job has been wonderfully supported by having four others who have experience in town, who have experience on other boards, who have been experienced on this board as first selectman. This is a very rich board when it comes to having that kind of experiential pieces to it and having institutional memory. Having said that, I go back to believing that everyone should have the right to run for a board. And in this case, it's one of those times that it's not a chairman that can get by with a few hours a month. It is many hours and can be many hours a week. It depends how you handle it. I come from a different background. I have a background that I don't have to do it quite as much study because I know many of the issues. I know many of the things here in town because I worked on them when I had another position. But I spend a lot of hours And a lot of them evenings and a lot of weekends when people call. Having said that, I know that this is a very important issue to many people. It is a flag for this town to have a first selectman, and a first selectman that the town is proud of. I go back to saying it's important to have everybody have the ability to run for the office, to put their best foot forward for it, and the best for the town. So my ask that is not to vote on anything tonight. This is to consider and possibly act on the first selectman's salary. This time, I am in support of removing it, tabling it this evening, and to wait until the new board is seated. The new board will have 7, and they will have the ability to hold a public hearing. We really have run right up to an election, and to hold a public hearing is not fair to a newly seated board, if that makes sense to most people. A newly seated board, then everybody gets the same materials, they hear the same things, and they're involved. So at this time, I would like to ask if there is a board member that would consider making a motion to table number 5 from having heard everyone at this seated tonight from the special meeting. Mr. Moore?
So moved.
And a second, sir?
I'll second.
Having a first and a second, if there's no further discussion, all in favor for tabling? Oh, I'm sorry. It's not debatable. All in favor, say aye.
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 We have 5 to table it. Thank you to everybody. I would say at this time that I have heard from others who are very interested in it, and we did receive one piece of correspondence on this that is a public document from Mr. Jay Bruds, if anyone would care to read it. Moving on then to consider an act on the AP report. Mr. Teller, do you have anything you'd like to comment on this evening?
I did see something I wanted to ask a question about, but maybe.
But Mr. Rupert is unable to be here because he is off to get an award for the town of Bolton. So a very special congratulations to our sustainable, I can work this tonight if I can get my tongue in my direction, Sustainable Connecticut, and we've gotten another bronze. So he's off to receive our award. But if you will ask a question, I will certainly work to find the answer for you and get back to you.
Kathy, I had several questions that commented and copied you, and I just as soon postpone those questions until Jim returns and has an opportunity to respond.
Questions on the AP report, sir?
Yes. I copy Kathy.
All right, thank you, Bob. Mr. Bob Moore.
I didn't have any issues, but if there are, Bob, may I ask you just a question? Is there an issue that on this that would limit you not approving it? Or is this simply a clarification that you're looking at?
Mostly clarifications.
Okay.
Then I would like to ask a question, Mr. DePietro. Would you consider voting on the rest of the AP report and holding those items that you need a clarification for, or you'd like the board to hold get clarification
yes.
for?
Yes, yes.
Are they, because it is important for all the other items to get approved for this evening, could Mr. DePietro, do you have the numbers of those items that you wish to?
I don't, but Kathy may.
He's not there, is she?
I'm sorry, the town hall staff has left because it is after 6:30. They close on Tuesdays on 6:30. Can you pull up that email, perhaps, Mr. DePietro?
I can't do that without losing Zoom.
Oh, dear.
Why don't we just forget it?
Okay, and then would you call Kathy tomorrow?
Yep.
Okay, very good. Thank you for your understanding. Mr. Teller?
Yeah, my only question had to do with the insurance policy from Cincinnati Insurance, which they're paying about $10,000 for, referencing Bolton Lakes. Is that for the water pollution control
authority. What page you want?
It's on page 15, about most of the way down. And is that something we get reimbursed for from other towns, or is that something that
quarterly
or by the Water Pollution Control Authority itself?
Oh, Cincinnati Insurance Company check target policy including photo to open lakes.
Looks like it's two policies.
Yeah.
Not sure what the pillar policy is, a target market policy. Looks like it's a property.
Well, liability. Yeah, they're both liability.
Kind of rider.
Yeah. When one's a rider. And it's part. We share costs with the town of Vernon on a portion of share on that. So part of it would be our share, part of it would be their share. But we pay it through our accounts here. So it's not fully compensated back, but it's on a proportionate share.
Just doesn't seem like it's not the carrier that we're using for the town. And I'm just kind of wondering why we're using one for them and one for the town. When is that something maybe Vernon wanted? Or
I'm sorry.
I don't think that's the carrier that we're using for town insurance. Town liability and property insurance, or is it? Maybe it is, but
I'm not sure on that. I don't know. Can't answer that.
Doesn't look familiar, but okay. I mean, I can take it up with Jim. I'm not concerned about.
Yeah,
you don't want to hold it in that particular. Very right. Good. Then, if there, Michael, Mr. Aramita, do you have any questions?
No, I don't.
Then I will ask then for a motion to accept the AP report.
So moved.
Bob Moore.
Second.
Mr. Aramita seconds. Any further discussion?
No.
Thank you. And thank you, Bob DePietro, for your thoughts and getting back to the town. And if there's any concern, please give me a call. Then I'll call for the vote. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
And it passes unanimously. Thank you. 5-5. There is no budget transfer report. So that's a positive thing. And so I'm number 3. So we will now move on to item number 4. Consider and possibly act on the COTT, the COT system enhancement to detect title fraud. This was brought up by Mr. Tim Johnson because we worry about title fraud now. There has been many articles that have been written, and it has brought to the forefront of people going into and getting into titles and that are doing it illegally and taking action on people's property, and it's not their property. It's become a concern. So we wanted to be able to find out how the town protects the titles, the property titles under their watchful care. So we did find out that through the COT system, which we already have, that there is a something called property check service that we could qualify for under the service that we're already getting. And it would take a $700 one-time fee to have it. And it would be only a $25 per month additional fee to have the service continuing on forward. The contract that they proposed to us actually expires tonight, but they said that they will give us a fresh one for tomorrow. So not to worry. And it would be the same dollar amount, but no changes except for the date. Having said all that, you have in your packet, and it was provided online, the information about it. Would like to ask if there's any discussion. Mr. DePietro.
Yes. I'd like to ask Attorney Teller, why we need this when there's such a thing as title insurance?
Mr. Teller, would you like the floor, sir?
This is sort of a different issue. Can
you speak up to
this? This is the issue of people forging deeds or pretending to be somebody else and getting a mortgage on your house, recording it, disappearing, getting the money. And then without you realizing it, there's a cloud on your title, or even it's been, sold to somebody else without your knowledge. There are a few cases of people, especially with vacant land, where they own the land for years and years and they're not there all the time and they don't check on it. And then all of a sudden somebody's built a house on their land because they bought it because somebody posed as them. And it's sort of, you know, it does happen. It doesn't happen that often, but it's becoming more of an issue. And essentially what this does is it allows you to register with this company. Query why you even have to do this and pay for it, but and then they send you an alert if something happens involving your property. If something is recorded on the land records involving your property. In theory, you could check every month or every quarter on the online land registry under your name. Nobody actually has time to do that. This does it automatically. It's kind of similar to setting alert on your credit or, you know, some of these other things. It's a modest cost to the town, but I point out a few things. It's a modest cost to the town now, but over time, it's a lot of money. I mean, you know, $300 a year, and then next year it's $315 a year, and next year after that, you know, because these companies, these IT data mining companies, essentially, this is our data, and they're charging us to let other people get access to our data on an automatic basis. Query why towns aren't getting this money for themselves. Why aren't we charging the resident who wants to do this? Because it's our data, right? All this data belongs to the towns, but we have these companies that are providing a service. What they're doing is providing online indexing availability and searching availability, and they're charging their the people who use that quite a bit of money. As an attorney, I subscribe to some of these, you know, land record indexes. We pay quite a bit of money to get a copy, some of which passes through the town, quite a bit of money to have the ability to search and look at documents and then pull them down. And the coming thing is going to be, you know, electronic recording, which even some already happens now. So ultimately, this is a service we'd be offering the people in town that they could easily duplicate themselves with just a little effort, but we're going to be charged, you know, $300 a year to make it available to them.
Now,
and it's such a modest cost now, I don't see it as a huge issue. I see it as one of those things where over time, you can bet your dollar that the cost will creep up, because once people have it, we won't even notice that it's $500 some year, you know, 5 years from now, 3 years from now.
Thank you. Mr. Armita?
Yeah, Adam, you seem to know way more about this than I do. Would the people in town have to sign up individually to be covered under the service? And the second thing, if we do have people sign up individually, could we not charge them $1 a year or $2 a year for the service and make our money back each year?
They would have to sign up because they would have to give, you know, systems an email address and a certificate, you know, prove who they are. And it'll be free for them, but I don't know how COP would.
Yeah.
Like, the whole point is it's free for them. They're charging us.
But if, you know, if they gave us a list of the people that signed up, couldn't we add $1 or $2 to their tax bill if they use that service to compensate the town?
It would be difficult for us to do that.
And Mike, it probably would cost more to do that than what you would get back in.
Than it's worth, yeah.
And also, not for nothing, but who are the people most likely to get scammed by this process? People who are older, who maybe aren't technologically savvy.
Thank you. That's where I was going.
They're
the least likely to sign up for this. What's going to happen is real estate agents, attorneys are going to sign up for a whole bunch of people because they want to, you know, keep tabs on what's going on. And it's also, you know, inevitable.
Right.
That somebody will still get scammed because they didn't sign up.
But using the system, accessing and getting, because I do it in my business all the time, but it's still, sometimes it's a royal pain. And if you really aren't fairly accustomed to doing it, it becomes frustrating and you won't do it. And Adam, you hit a point. The most vulnerable are those people who are elderly and simply not at all efficient with computers. And for this price, it provides that little bit level of safety that as far as I'm concerned, even if it came out of my pocket, it would be worth it.
Yeah, and it would be similar to like when you have insurance, a lot of the, all the insurance companies now in Connecticut have to do this. You can designate somebody to get information about when your insurance lapses, right, or if it's canceled for some reason, which many older people have their child get that alert. So right, that if they forget to write a bill or forget to pay or forget to do something, return a form, somebody knows that their insurance is canceled and fixes it. Or if you're an absentee, you know, owner or something like that, you can have an agent do that. So I don't object to it. I'm just sort of pointing out so that it's out there.
Understood.
That I really, I mean, I don't object to us doing this. What I object to is the system
in the future
where all of the towns in Connecticut own this data and make it, should make it available to their citizens for free. I mean, a land index is free to look at. It's free. It should be free and easy to look at online. But we've given it over to these people who now are farming it for money.
Thank you.
And that's a bad thing.
Thank you. From my point of view, having raised my hand twice on the feeling of being a senior, that I believe that this is a touch of protection for all, not just seniors. Perhaps it could be people new to the country who have their first piece of property that, you know, they are still learning, you know, as we look at our population has become more diverse. We look forward to a more diverse population in town. I think it is a protection, and I think we're offering to our townspeople a type of safety for one of the biggest pieces in their lives, and that is their property, the financial pieces. So I, at this time, would be in support of a $700 one-time payment, and that would come out of, at this time, it would come out of, so right up front, would come out of the administration budget, and a $25 monthly cost, which would come out of the town clerk's budget. At this time, I would ask for a motion to move to accept the contract for the property check service provided through the COT systems.
Yeah, I'll so move.
And a second?
Pam, I think Bob's got his hand up.
Bob the preacher has his hand up.
I have a motion on the table. Right. Is there a second?
I'll second it, but
Bob DiPietro, I will continue discussion. Now we have a motion on the table. Bob?
Yes.
I apologize, I missed your hand before.
When Mr. Johnson told us about this about 2 or 3 months ago, he raised one example. I'm curious how many more instances, examples of this occur? Is it really, are you, unless you have vacant land somewhere, I'm wondering how useful it will really be. And I'm also wondering how many of our residents will take the time to bother and need even to sign up. So personally, I am not in favor of spending this money now. We have a ton of budget as it is in the administration. And I hear what you said, and I'm sympathetic to old people, of which I'm older than all of you by far. But
no, I don't know.
I think there's debate on that issue, sir.
So I'm against it.
Thank you, Mr. Peter. Mr. Teller?
Did we actually, I mean, I see that Ms. Waters, our town clerk, submitted this, but is she actually recommending this? And is this something that other town clerks have asked for?
I have spoken to her today, and yes, she is in favor of this.
Yeah, again, I mean, it's a modest cost. I agree with Bob that we should be careful about what we're spending on, but this is, you know, one time and then a very minimal cost every year. We could stop it anytime we want.
Right.
If we find in 2 years that nobody signed up from Bolton, then I think we should stop it. But it's worth giving people the opportunity if they're interested. And maybe I would just ask that we review it in, say, a year to 2 years and ask the town clerk for a report about how many people have actually signed up. Because if very few people have signed up, then there is no reason to keep paying them.
May I just modify my motion?
Yes, sir, you have the floor.
My motion to include that it be reviewed on an annual basis.
Sure.
We have a motion, and would the seconder second
the... Fine with me.
The change in the motion. We have a motion that has been amended, and we have a second. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. 4 yeses. Any opposed? And 1 opposed. Mr. DePietro is a no.
I was going to make a motion to adjourn. That's next on the agenda.
You can't make a motion until I have not. I haven't.
Don't want to go home. One,
I like your sweatshirt.
Thank you.
Yep. You want to watch how fast I can lose control of a meeting? Watch this. Yeah. It's all about a sweatshirt, which is not on the agenda. But it's a lovely sweatshirt, in case anybody noticed. We have a jet-lagged member of this board who's wearing a very cool sweatshirt, which kind of announces where he's just been. If he pulls the sweatshirt down.
I'm not bragging, but boy, it was great.
Pull your sweatshirt down, sir. Bring it in. Okay. I will take a motion to adjourn.
Second. So moved.
Second, for a motion made by... we have a motion that has been seconded, Mr. Aramita.
Yes, can I speak?
No.
This appears to be my last meeting with all of you.
No, it's not. Hold on. Wait. Before we adjourn, call for the motion to adjourn. We have a meeting to be held on November 2nd. At 6:30, an AP meeting, because we are not meeting until after the election.
Okay.
And you will have another meeting, Mr. Aramita.
Okay, that's good.
But we will hold it, I believe it's on the 14th. So we're not going to say goodbye to you yet. Good try.
Don't get off that easy, pal.
November 2nd at 6:30 p.m. Will be the next AP meeting to get all the work ahead of time. And there will be a public safety and facilities and public safety meeting before that at 5:30. And that includes Pam Sawyer, Bob Mora, Adam Teller, and Jim Rupert will be there. So for your calendars. And for the good of the cause, since there is a motion on the table, I have now overridden myself, and a second, all in favor of adjourning, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. And the meeting is adjourned in English.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno.
Arrivederci.